Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, as I'm setting up, I have an important announcement to make. I would like to engage you in an exercise that is absolutely important, but it will only take 2 or 3 minutes. If you could please turn to a neighbor and share with your neighbor what you remember from Burijan Prabhu's class, and second, from Jagatarini's class. And and it is not enough to say it was nice. Please try to make a willful effort to remember something very precise and accurate that you remember. Perhaps you don't remember anything now so clear, so you might have to go and exercise your memory. Most of you are young and are not dealing with issues like biologically induced forgetfulness, so please bring your mind to a memory and share it with your neighbor. You have only 2 minutes time. It might wake some of us up. Start now, please. Those who have not yet found a partner, please, you can join a group of two already. It's important that you also strain your memory. You will need it for the meditation. You have 1 more minute time.
Mm-hmm. Jai Radha Madhava.
We thank you very, very, very much for so kindly engaging in this exercise. If you wish, wonderful! If you wish, you can also engage in this outside of the retreat and just talk about Krishna with each other, and it will help you to enter more into the stream of Krishna consciousness, and also it will help you to sharpen this skill of an active mind that is able to practice smaranam very easily. In this age of overload of sensual input, also even information overload and so on, we sometimes do not exercise our memory any longer and therefore suffer from an atrophying memory. We think sometimes everything is on chat, GPX or whatever it is. It can be attained, and an important function of our that is invested by the Lord in us is wasted. In fact, some researchers say that that we are using, we are losing a whole generation at the moment because of the over excessive use of social media, who do not any longer exercise their God-given talents. It's all in the computer, they think. Good. So you might like to exercise this a little, and you might also think, oh my God, why could I remember only so little? What's wrong with me? I must train this mind muscle a little, otherwise it falls down sloppy dead. Hare Krishna. Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari.
Yasodhanandana Raja Jana Ranjana.
Please find on your mobile phone the Bhagavad Gita verse 12:9 and give it to me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishnapishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Sri Vashadi together, please. Namaste Giriraja Shri Govardhana Namine Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Daini. And now to Radha and Krishna. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Me. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Ganda Radha Ganda Namostute. Dear devotees, because we wish to engage with a subject matter that may or not may be very familiar to us, we still need to establish a little bit the Krishna says, Atha chitam samadatum. Oh, you know. Oh, good. Let us chant then. Na shakshnoshi mayi stiram. Na abhyasa yogena tato. Mam ichaptum dananjaya. Now Krishna speaks about two levels of remembering Krishna. First, constantly and easily fixing the mind on him, which is difficult. He says, if you cannot fix your mind upon me, my dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, I read the whole, from the beginning. My dear Arjuna, he says, and then he twinkles a little with his eyes and says, O winner of wealth. There's some reason why he twinkles with his eyes. If you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principle of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. Now, if we look in the Sanskrit, it says, if you are not able, samadatum, to fix, not shakshnosi, you are not able to fix it upon me, stiram, steadily, then you must do what Prabhupada translates as follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. The Sanskrit here is abhyasa yogana. You must practice abhyasa something, and then you will get me. This abhyasa yoga, this is, Prabhupada says, you must regulate yourself to do this. You must practice. Now this is very interestingly explained, my dear devotees. Here you find a new school which you might like to enter if you want to become Dhananjaya, the winner of wealth. He says, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, this abhyasa rupa bhakti or sarana bhakti, which Prabhupada translates as the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, you give yourself some regulation. This means, are you with us? Yes. It means, stop the movement of the mind, which like a river which cannot be controlled gravitates to vulgar sense objects such as taste. And then after stopping the movement of the mind which may go to vulgar sense objects, I mean, of what could that be? You know what that could be, no? Do we have to say it? We don't want to say it. Such as the things you can taste, no? In sexuality, all the senses are engaged, including the sense of taste, no? If stop the movement of the mind, which like a river which cannot be controlled runs to vulgar sense objects such as taste, and establish the mind's movement in my beautiful form, qualities, pastimes, and rasa. These are all high concepts. Let me simplify it. The mind will move. It is a moving thing. It is not stopping easily. There is always a movement in the mind. So it will always go like a river in a course which we know. Sometimes when I'm with trusted God brothers who will not tell what I tell them, we sing together old Rolling Stones songs because we still know after 50 plus years the lines of I can't get no satisfaction or something like this. It has been deeply embedded in the mind like a river, because when we were very impressionable and very young and we followed this music with great effect, with great effort, or great enthusiasm and emotions and everything. Yes, it's true. I'm also not satisfied. I can empathize with this theme. Then it was deeply embedded in the mind. Yes, this is a relatively harmless thing. As far as I know, there is no vulgar things in the lyric. I mean, I can't also remember everything. It was something about the radio and so on. But I'm not such a great fan of this. But I just want to give an example. Inedible impressions are in us. So here the Lord says, you must practice now to withdraw the mind from repeatedly going to these sense objects, and you must learn to bring the mind in its movement to my beautiful form, qualities, pastimes, and rasa. Otherwise, your next birth is, he doesn't say this, this is now what I say, your existence as a devotee will be highly compromised. You will be only externally a devotee, and yes, Krishna is kind. He accepted also Putana, who was only dressing up like a devotee. But we should be more than Putana Bhakti, you know. And it's expected that we do it in a friendly way, you know. We should think there should be something going on in regards to Krishna's beautiful form, his qualities, pastimes and rasa. And you can see our two lecturers, our Mataji and our Bhujan Prabhu, they talk very nicely about just that, so that we can forget it all. Oops, sorry, I had a tired moment. So that we can remember it and establish the mind's movement in remembering this. This is what Abhyasa Yoga means, the yoga of practice. No? And this is what we want to introduce softly. Today we will go into something quite amazing, if Krishna allows. Good. So I have made use of this mobile telephone now. I will drop it. It's a little... So, my dear devotees, please take your page. We will now glorify the Lord a little. We have chanted up to verse number 4. I will just give you a little bit the idea. The gopis sing this. It's from the gopis' songs of separation. And they have sung to Krishna, Vraj is so glorious because of your appearance here. But please be visible to us. Please show your beautiful form. And you must protect us also. You have, now we suffer in your separation. In the past, we suffered also because of the demons who were attacking. And you protected Braj from Kaliya, from Agasura, from this rain, from the windstorm, Trinavata, and so on and so forth. So please don't neglect us all. This is what they were singing, and they will continue now. In verse number 5, we will go 5 to 8, where they pray for blessings. I think you all know the melody now, so we will go direct. And now we start. Virachita Bayam Vrishni Duryate Charanam Yosha Sansrite Baya Karasaro appealed to Krishna, please appear to us. Now they are certain that Krishna will fulfill their desires, and now they ask for boons. The first one is place your hands on our heads. And the second boon is show us your beautiful face. They say something very amazing. They say Nija Janas Maya Dvangsana Smita. You all look at the paper, and perhaps your attention is fixed there. So I will not read from the paper. I will give you a summary. Please kindly give the attention here to what you hear. The gopis say, your smile shatters the pride of the devotees. They say, what they imply is they are very great devotees. We can just what they imply is, yes, we know you left us because we thought we are the most fortunate devotees in the universe, and there was this trace of smile. But my Lord, there is no need to disappear if you want to shatter our pride. No need. You just show us your lotus face, I'm sorry. And you just smile, and that's enough. That will do the job. You have taken the wrong action. You have disappeared to shatter our pride. Our pride must be shattered. We agree, but just do it by smiling, please. Do you feel in an intimate connection? Intimate, I mean here, a close friend. I know when I'm with a close friend and I say something excessive or something, I go too much into a subject matter and lose a rational perspective, my friend just smiles a bit. And then I know, okay. I come back, you know. When it's a good friend in whom I have trust and affection, a smile is enough when you go off the track, you know. sometimes the devotees say to Krishna, "Oh Krishna, you are very truthful," and then they smile, and Krishna then knows they have understood that he said something to increase the rasa, no? And then so show us your face, but because they are the dearest devotees who engage in Madhurya rasa, they are not even stopping there. They say, please place your lotus feet on our hearts. No? And their thought is, you will appreciate doing this. It is good for your enjoyment. We are not thinking here of our enjoyment. And then they remember Krishna's sweetness, and this will be the subject matter of today's presentation, my dear devotees. What was the first ocean of Krishna's qualities? Karunya, how was the Sanskrit term? Jaladi, yes, you said it, the ocean of Krishna's sweetness. The second is Shoshilya Jaladi, the ocean of Krishna is an ocean of good character. very good. And then the third is Sondarya Jaladi, Krishna is an ocean of beauty, exactly. We will jump over these because we don't have this much time. I want to come to Krishna's quintessential quality, which is Madhurya Jaladi. Krishna is an ocean of sweetness. The gopis talk about this in the last verse of today. Madhuraya Ngira Falguvakyaya. They talk about Krishna's captivating voice, very sweet voice, very captivating. They speak about Krishna's charming words, and they also speak about Krishna's glances. Have you heard about Krishna's special glances? One type of glance is straight, where he showers nectar on his devotees, and he also shows his feelings to the demons. But there is another glance which the devotees want to get especially. Which glance is that? The sidelong glance. Did I hear properly? I'm a little far removed. Yes, sidelong glance. What this means is his eyes go either to the left or to the right, and there in this, the corner of his eyes, I think we heard this already, is his karuna, his compassion. It's residing there. And then his glance somehow, because it's God, you know, it transports this compassion to us. No? It's a pregnant glance, a full glance. You know, there's something in it. And he accepts the devotees with these glances, etc. So this is sweetness. My dear devotees, if you want to say what's the difference between Krishna and God, oh, what? Is he not God? Yes, he is God. Yes, he is God. Yes, he is God. But he is God in his private mood, in his confidential mood, no? Then you would have to say madhurya, this sweetness is there. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you find this verse. Those who like to find verses, it's in Madhya Lila 21 and 110, verse 110, 21, 110. Madhuya Bhagavata Sara Raja Kaila Paracha Taha Shuka Vyasare Ananda Na. I'm not a Bengali, so it is, please forgive me, I can't do this tilting voice, I don't know. The Madhuya Bhagavata Sara, the essence, Krishna is full of six opulences, the verse says, including his attractive beauty, but the essence is his sweetness. He's just so sweet. Sweet, I have made an interesting note here. It means that somehow the special qualities of all of Krishna's three ages are present. The Bengali sometimes says, Sachinandan Swami, you are sweet as a rasagula. I don't know about this. I think I'm an old man, and there is only oldness. Krishna is really sweet. We should use this this word, at least when we talk seriously. Of course, we can joke. This is very pleasant jokes. But Krishna is, listen about what this means, the Krishna sweet. At every moment of his being, he embodies the qualities of a child, of a mature youth, and as an adolescent. In other words, the qualities of Komara are gentleness. Did you see the little boy yesterday? Can I give you a sweet or tell me what you want? No? Childhood, extreme gentleness, but also interesting naughty behavior. Remember, like yesterday, Mother Yashoda was looking for Krishna and couldn't find him. But she heard from the storage room the noise of his bangles, some noise and some moving of pots, and she know, he's in there. The naughtiness, naughty behavior. Then when Krishna becomes mature, his cleverness and his skillfulness is there, but at the same time, the extreme gentleness is still there, and his naughty behavior is there. And when he engages in his madhurya pastimes, where he has extraordinary attractiveness, it's so much that the god of love, Cupid, in Madan Ter, just fainted and fell on the not on his deathbed, but on the ground, because Krishna is so attractive. Have you ever seen a beautiful person? I think everyone has some ideal of beauty. We may not now want to engage in this exercise of worldly beauty, but I think we all have seen, and people are very excited to give prizes for beauty and so on. So Krishna has all the beauty combined which is there. I remember when my aging father, he said, "I know you don't read worldly literature, but for me, you must read one book." I will not give the book. Now it is a Kami book. I will not give the book title. And in this book, a person is described who collects all the beautiful scents, fragrances of the world, and brings them into one perfume bottle. And so he did something terrible, and he was meant to be hanged, but he took his perfume bottle with him, and he opened it, and all the scents came out, and everyone who was there waiting for his last movements on the gallows, you know, where you're hanged in old times, everyone who smelled this was fainting, and then he walked into his freedom. Something like that. I didn't read everything. There were a few favors I owed to my father, who was good to me and supported me and gave so much Lakshmi to the movement, so I had to read some of it just to be able to discuss with him. Because I remember the discussion, I said, "Father, Krishna's fragrance is like that. It's irresistible. And his beauty, irresistible. His words, irresistible. His gestures, his glances, irresistible. Totally." Because I didn't know at that time, this comes from Brihad Bhagavatamrita, because in him is all the attractiveness, it is collected there, and therefore he is known as Krishna. You know everything. Krishna, yes, it means all attractive by his beauty, by his compassion, by his good qualities, by his compassion, and now by his sweetness. This is what we discuss today. It's irresistible. Now, worldly literature may pick up some ideas and try to depict it, but it was also not a very good book. It was... Hare Krishna. Good. This taste by which Krishna attracts everyone has a certain name. Who knows this name? It comes in a famous book of Srila Rupa Goswami, which is translated as Nectar of Devotion. What is that taste? Rasa, yes. Rasa, rasa is a relish or taste. So Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Devotion, the relish or taste of the mundane rasa, you know, there is some taste in music, in watching something, perhaps in some good patterns on a cloth and so on. There is some taste, but it doesn't endure for a long time, Prabhupada says. And therefore mundaners or mundane workers are apt to change always their position of enjoyment. And death ultimately finishes all the happiness. You all know this. You can, when you eat 10 pizzas, you have to vomit on the toilet of MVT. You know, the taste does not endure for long. But the bhakti rasa, as a difference, doesn't even finish with the end of life. Any taste you have in Krishna will continue. It purifies you so much that you don't think any longer of the body, I'm a man, a woman, a German, an American, an Indian. When you have fine taste in Krishna, you know, I belong to Krishna, he belongs to me. That's all there is to know. Bhakti rasa is always performed in relationship for Krishna. This rasa is described in a verse. I will immediately go to the English, which you can find in the 10th canto 43, chapter verse number 17. In the translation, you find it. This taste is always beyond imagination. It is better than you can imagine with your mind, because it is transcendental. It is always, listen to this, heavy with wonderment, wonder. You think, wow! You are always surprised, and it's always with Krishna, he's perpetually full of wonder. But there is something we all need to know. It can be only relished in a heart that is shining with goodness. In other words, when you are passionate and tamasic, you just can't relish the taste. That's why we devotees go, we want to taste spiritual life. We go in such details. Imagine that we don't eat rajasic and tamasic food that we know already, but we don't drink black tea, for instance, which is rajasic, or coffee. No, we don't do. I know that some of you drink coffee, but the reason why we don't do drink coffee, even this is a small detail someone might argue, we don't eat, what is it, onion and garlic? No. Because all these foods are in tamas and rajas, and if we want to taste spiritual life, we need to have sattvic, we need to have our heart shine with goodness. These are subtle things. The more gross things which cover us are, of course, meat eating, intoxication, bang, but then gambling, it makes you so excited, rajasic, and illicit sex life. No, that's why we promised this at the initiation, because the initiation is the beginning of a path that brings us to Krishna consciousness, which means to relish Krishna, no, to find fill our consciousness with Krishna. My dear devotees, This is important when we, because we heard a mind which is filled with tamas or rajas is not able to remember Krishna. Not we had this in one of the beginning verses. It was a quotation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. An example is given from Krishna Lila. There are many examples. We can only relish the beauty of Krishna to the degree our heart is pure. Look at Kaliya. Kaliya had the direct darshan of Krishna. Krishna was swimming in the lake which he occupied. Remember? He created waves. And Kaliya came forward to see who is creating these waves in my lake. Then it is described, he fixed, he had many heads, but he had a main head. And he fixed the gaze on Krishna. He must have seen Krishna. Imagine swimming through the Yamuna, the water gliding over his shoulders, hair becoming wet. Very, very, very increased beauty, no, with Yamuna in Yamuna Devi. But Kaliya became hateful and rushed forward in order to bite Krishna on his chest. It's unimaginable, but it becomes understandable if we hear that the rasa, the bhakti rasa or Krishna rasa can only be tasted in a heart shining with goodness. Yeah. So Kaliya saw that Sri Krishna, here is it, tam prakshaniya sukumara ganavadatam shri vatsapita vasanam smita sundarasyam. Smita sundarasyam means the beautiful smile. Kaliya saw that Sri Krishna, I skipped the other lines. Kaliya saw that Sri Krishna, who wore yellow silken garments, was very delicate. He saw this. Oh, how delicate this boy is. His attractive body was shining like a glowing white cloud. His chest was bearing the mark of Shivatsa, yes. His face was smiling beautifully. And his feet resembled the whirl of a lotus flower. I can imagine the feet of the Lord when he was swimming, were sometimes coming out of the water and were visible. The Lord was playing fearlessly in the water. But despite his wonderful appearance, the envious Kaliya furiously bit him on the chest and then completely enwrapped him in his coils. Yes. So, this subject is discussed by Rupa Goswami also. We can't taste Krishna or his holy name or anything, his pastimes, when our tongue is covered with the jaundice of ignorance. This means forgetfulness of Krishna and forgetfulness of who we also are. So this may be a reason why we need to chant very attentively, or why we need to be very attentive as we practice bhakti, so that our consciousness is purified. Shrinvatav sva kata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hrityanta sto hyabadrani vidunoti suritsatam. By hearing about Krishna, Shrinvatav sva kata, and also I would like to add, doing kirtan of Krishna, all that is inauspicious in the heart and keeps us away, either the lower gunas or enviness or just materialism or attachment or all these things, they are described as unfortunate, and they are moved away from the heart, and not by your own strength, my dear devotees. Who does this? Krishna himself sees, oh, this person is hearing about me, he's chanting, Krishna punya shravana kirtanam hridyantasto hyabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. That the Lord who is situated in the heart, hridyantasto, he removes, my dear devotees. And that, isn't that hopeful? You just sit and hear and chant, and after some time, it is happening that your heart changes. He does it. He himself, I sometimes say, does the job of the heart cleaner or heart sweeper. Just for dramatic language, there are street sweepers, and then there is one heart sweeper. That's Krishna. Ah. He does, because he becomes attentive to the one who develops an interest to hear about him and to chant his name. Back to the main subject. Madhurya Jaladi. Krishna is an ocean of sweetness. We have prepared a song for you. We hope that this will work. It is a very nice song. It's the Madhurya Rastakam. I have to still find it in my songbook, but it's on the there. Oh my God, with flowers even. And it's about glorifying Krishna's sweetness. Would you like to sing this? I'm also totally into it. Madhurya. Yes. 293. Yes. Here. We will sing the first four lines. Gokrishna and the Gokrishna Bhajan band will sing. So please, you will find it. Wonderful.
Adaram madhuram vadana maduram nayana madura hasitam maduram hridyam maduram gamanam maduram madu Adipate Akhilam Maduram.
Sing now.
Adaram Maduram Vadanam Maduram Nayanam Maduram Asitam Maduram Vidayam Maduram
Second verse.
Vachanam maduram charitam maduram vasanam maduram lalitam maduram charitam maduram pramitam maduram maduradipate
together the third. on a little louder, please.
Manuradipate akilam maduram. Gitam maduram, itam maduram, uktam maduram, stotam maduram. Rupam maduram, tilakam maduram, maduradipate akilam maduram. Maduradipate akilam adaram maduram, vadanam maduram, nayanam maduram, hasitam maduram.
And all together these two lines.
Adaram maduram, vadanam maduram, nayanam maduram, hasitam maduram.
It's so nice. Do you also feel? Maybe next time we should sing it not so fast, but we have so little. We have still something to do. So it's about his madhurya, his sweetness, and it's a very ecstatic song. The poet starts with his lips. His lips are sweet. And we heard two days ago, they are also very strong because he took the life out of Putana. But here, his lips are sweet. His face is sweet. His eyes are sweet. His smile is sweet. His heart is sweet. The way he walks or his gait is sweet. And it goes through, this is so sweet, this. His voice, his character, his dress, his speech, movement, wandering, flute, foot dust, hands are sweet, feet are sweet, dancing is sweet, his friendship is sweet, singing is sweet, drinking is sweet, eating is sweet, his sleeping is sweet, his beauty is sweet, his tilak is sweet. Everything is sweet about the original Lord of sweetness. Even his yawning and his chastisement. When Krishna is chastising his devotees, which he does when he sees that they are becoming proud, then that is in retrospect sweet. Has someone of you experienced this, that there was a life occurrence and it was intense as we went through it, but in retrospect means when you look at it again, you thought this was necessary. Yes, I lost my money on the bank account. Yes, I came to Vrindavan without an air purifier. And there were 2 weeks of poo. This happened to me and I couldn't find my entry into a retreat. I felt out of place and wanted to go back home where I have a reliable warm bed, you know. So we all go through these things, but if you will see, especially when you're back in the West, how everything serves a purpose in Krishna's creation. So I have to now quickly, oh my God, time. I want to do with you a meditation at the end. In our training, my dear devotees, there is one verse which is twice repeated in Chaitanya Charitamrita about a wonderful meditation, a meditation with which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has elaborately described. The verse is known to us. It is here for you. We will chant it. What is a good meter for this? Divyat Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Srimad Ratnagara Simasanasto Srimad Radha Shila Govinda Devo Preshtalibi Sevyamano Smarami. Yes. Please let us do it all together now, where we have an idea of how a melody could work. Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Srimad Ratnagara Simasanasto Srimad Radha Shila Govinda Devo Thank you. You collectively knew. So now, one more time without faults, if possible. Divyat Vrindaranya Kalpadrumadha Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanasto Srimad Radha Shila Govinda Devo Veshalibi Sevyamano Smarami. Smarami, you remember, you recognize the word smaranam in there, no? And it's interesting, I have this translation here. In the shining land of Sri Vrindavan, this is the Divya Vrindavan, the transcendental Vrindavan, in a temple composed of jewels, Sri Sri Radha Govinda are seated on an effulgent throne beneath a Kalpa Briksha tree, accepting service from their beloved Sakis. Sevyamano, yes, so Smarami. Smarami means I meditate, I do smaranam of this. This is a prayer to Radha Govinda, but also a meditation, smarami. I meditate about this. No? It's very, very, very common in our Gaudiya tradition. It offers us a guideline into this year. I think from what I heard, you knew the meter much better than me. I learned it. I had difficulty. So this meditation starts where all bhakti meditations start, about Krishna. That is with Vrindavan, yes, where he stays. Yogis, this is described in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, have a different meditation. I do this sometimes when I'm very distracted. They first meditate about the sun, Then they bring the moon into their conscious awareness, and then the fire. These are all luminous objects which are meant to destroy the inner darkness at the outset or preparation of the meditation. And then they do something which causes heartbreak for a devotee. They meditate how the Lord comes out of the fire. But the devotee thinks the Lord should be not in fire that burns. Our Lord should appear where? In the forest of Vrindavan. So the bhakti meditations are different. They make meditation a devotional exercise. It's not just stilling the mind and so on. It's devotional service to think of Krishna. So what I will do is I will read to you something. I'm sorry, sorry, sorry. Yes. Is this too loud or is it not loud enough for you? Can you hear the ragini? Is it good or bad? Good. Like this. Good. Because for me it's very loud, and it's you who matters. Because it is long, and this is an Indian instrument. There is even a little worm. I hope it's not a small cobra on the thing. You never know, you know. Because it's long and you have had a long morning, I will just first do what is easy for you. I will bring you there by reading something. You are used to this, so let us first do what we are used to, then our mind will not protest or block, and then I will bring you to a meditation. Is this all right with you?
Yes.
Good. No, it's not a cobra, it's so please stay with us, Ragini. Don't just go. My dear devotees, you can easily, maybe it's the battery, you can easily fix your mind with this. I think it's a little book of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur called Rupa Chintamani, where he takes that verse which we chanted, and he takes the elements and now forms it into a meditation, because the verse says Smarami, I meditate. So deep within one's heart of hearts is the most charming, beautiful place, Sri Vrindavan Dham. It's completely surrounded by the sparkling river Jamuna, the daughter of the Kalinda Mountain. The Jamuna encircles three sides of the yoga pit and connects with the fourth by a canal. Within that Vrindavan is a charming place where the earth is made of shimmering gold, and it is surrounded by vast expanses of intricately landscaped forest groves and bower houses. In the center of all these grove clusters is a marvelous temple in form of rare and precious living gemstones, and within that temple there is a seat, and on the seat are Kishore Kishori, Radha and Krishna. So let us get this clear. It's the zooming in. You know, first there's Vrindavan, then what was the second element? The Yamuna, yes. It encircles a place from three sides and a fourth side. So there is an island in the middle. In the heart of Vrindavan, there's an island. And in that island, next to the beautiful Kunjas, we find a particular temple with living gemstones. They are alive, they are full of consciousness, and there is the throne of Radha and Krishna. Then we find more information, but then is the time now for you to close the eyes. When you're ready, breathe a little. Oh, my dear mind. So you tell yourself, oh, my dear mind, now please listen to me. First of all, I want you to meditate only on Krishna. He has the complexion and the luster of a fresh rain cloud. Begin right now and just remember, first and foremost, Krishna. And then remember, for now and for all of eternity, Krishna's attractively sweet and gentle smile. Remember, for now and all of eternity, Krishna's attractively sweet and gentle smile. Perhaps you have seen deities who smile. You have perhaps seen paintings. So for now and all of eternity, my mind, remember Krishna's attractively sweet and gentle smile. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama
Hare
Hare.
Please sing one more time.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
And one last time, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama.
Beautiful, beautiful. And one last time, prayerful now and meditatively.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama,
Hare
Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, my dear devotees. Thank you for trying your best. Everything which we do new is first done with some insecurity, perhaps. But with practice, it becomes very easy. Like, I think you must have thought the first time when you were invited to to think yet of me singing. I have no voice. I have a voice of a frog. But then as you did this more and more, you learn to sing always. Now we can sing sometimes, devotees sing for hours. And dance also, I'm too shy to dance in public. You might have thought at the beginning, but by regularly doing it, it's good. I would like to say how I came into this. I learned as a young devotee about deities, and it was for me very, very difficult to relate to deities because I had come from a Christian background where it is forbidden to think on forms. It's almost from the Moses times, when they made the golden calf and all of this. But I became purified of my wrong concepts and actually had beautiful experiences with Krishna. And I began to like looking at the faces of the deities and on their dresses, how they are dressed, and so on. And then I read in the third canto that it's easiest to meditate by looking on the facial, on the form of the limbs of the deities, then it becomes impressed in the mind. And then I still remember, by Krishna's mercy, the deities which are worshipped by our Sharanagati team are Radha Kanhaiya Lal. They are extremely beautiful. They were gifted to me, and the first time I got them was in Mayapur, where the two twin brothers had gone so kindly and painted them. They made the, please help me, is it the see-through layer? Our Madhava will know this because in the Radha Nam he does it. Is it a gloss or what is it? Vine? What? Varnish, the varnish, and they were finished, and then we went to Kanai Natai Shala, the place where these two deities, Shri Radha Kanhaiya Lal, revealed themselves to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we stayed there with these deities. Wow! And I remember in the morning, I stayed in a room in the guest house. Beautiful, beautiful. Oh, I could tell you many things. It was scary in the night because I heard these monstrous sounds. And only later I found out these were the dolphins who came up and made their boop. And I was scared to death until I knew from where the sound came. It was very natural. There were a jaguar or a leopard was there. We were all together appreciating Ganga and all. Yeah. Anyways, in the morning, the sun always fell on the deities and their faces. The sun rays came through the window, and it looked as if Surya Narayan was worshipping Radha Kanhaiya Lal. And this became impressed in my mind, and I began to remember that when I was asleep, I remembered the form of the Lord. And even though I had diarrhea, I was disturbed because of that, I always remembered, not always, but sometimes remembered Krishna. And then I thought, wow, this is meditation. This is what Prabhupada says. And then a long time went by where I never spoke about this meditation in Krishna consciousness. 30 years went by and I never spoke about, there are a few things I never speak about, devotional things, and I think they must mature in the heart before they can be talked about. Otherwise it's just conceptual theory. This is my, it's an individual thought. There is also value in talking about everything, of course. So yes, and then I did research, read, met people, thought, and then the work was to see, okay, I'm a disciple of Prabhupada, I'm initiated in this line. And it is through this line where all the empowerment will come. So what is our tradition saying about it? What are the is there something which we have overlooked? And then I found, for instance, the verse Divyat Vrindaranya and many other things which will come out in a forthcoming book. Good. Here, this was a little personal, so that you know. Perhaps I should have said this in the beginning. My dear devotees, before we go off to take prasadam, I need your help in something. In February 23rd to March 1st, we have a 7-day retreat. The heading which we found was Sharanagati, moving towards the ultimate shelter. I would not advertise this retreat if it was me who would be the main speaker. But the main speaker is one devotee whom I hold in high regard, Gauranga Darshandas, who is a scholar on the Bhagavatam. He has a school and he's teaching in the Mumbai University. But he's also a wonderful devotee. Don't be afraid of a wonderful devotee. And he will go through the Bhagavatam and see in the Bhagavatam the episodes where the holy name is glorified, and will also dig out some secrets how to chant it with more effect and so on. And Gokrishna, myself and my team will also be there. We will have one session. Always, it's a workshop like Holy Name Essentials, where we really go into what to do to really chant with a deep relish in the Holy Name. Kirtan and Japa will be there. So together, this combination, Bhagavatam and Holy Name, but this they're joined in one subject, moving towards our ultimate shelter. That is the retreat.